The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the type for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number two. 713-780 ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch. You know how to do that. If you miss the first hour, very sportsy. Pretty sure that this hour is going to be relatively sportsy as well. But Amos says, I don't think NFL players understand how being in a union works. Publicly airing their grievances with the union is foolish. That's what meetings are for. Well, I almost think it's...
I think it's their way of basically letting... players or letting the younger players know their take on things. I mean,
yeah, it's still undermining your leadership, though. And I don't even know that we should refer to these things as unions because they're not what I consider a union. And it's basically a millionaire's club that's negotiating.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. So they're not going to play by the same rules as a union would. Oh, I mean, I've also seen, you know, traditional unions where people don't agree with what their union's doing, and they come out and say stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really wrong for people to air their opinions. Okay, I promised you guys a play. Edmonton, Vegas, over 6.5 tonight. Big number, but Vegas is going to score a bunch of goals. And Edmonton...
6.5, he says.
Yes, 6.5. I haven't eaten many 6.5s this year. I also don't mind Buffalo, Colorado over 6. So... But the Vegas one I like a lot.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm going to be on Loyola, Maryland, +1 tonight at Navy. And Loyola was literally a trash can for most of this year. And they got a guy who is 6'11", a Spanish kid. He was the MVP at the FIBA under 18. He had surgery. Couldn't play until now. He started playing February 1st. He's 6'11". He can rebound. He can shoot. And guys like that don't come around in the Patriot League. He's a rare talent for that caliber of basketball. They've got another kid on that team that also played on that same Spanish team. Also 6'11". Before Santi Aldama got there, their record was a disaster. Since he showed up, they've won 6 out of 7, including a win over Navy. And Navy's biggest guy, 6'8". They're just going to dominate this game. I don't even think it's going to be close. So I'm getting a point. I think the line is being based on their full season ratings, which again don't count most of the year with this guy, and he's starting to, even in that Navy game, he played like 13 minutes. He's starting to get into the fold a little bit more. I think he's going to be a real problem for them. So, yeah, Loyola, Maryland.
I followed you on that one.
The Greyhounds. And look at first half, too.
Okay.
Because the Navy's like, they're 340th in the country in first half points, and Loyola has led at halftime of every game except one in February.
Wow.
So just some things to consider.
I have a list of the big name players who have publicly voiced their displeasure.
Okay.
Russell Wilson, we mentioned. Aaron Rodgers, Marcus Pouncey, we know about those three. J.J. Watt tweeted last week, hard no on that proposed CBA.
Okay.
Richard Sherman basically liked that comment. And
these are all guys who have a lot of money.
So far, Michael Thomas. Leonard Fournette says, I disagree with the 17 games. I want to get to that because I still don't know what the point of that is. Marlon Humphrey And Bob Griffin III. I don't know that they... Well, I guess Bob Griffin made a bunch of money already.
Yes. What was he, a number two pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
Behind Andy Luck.
Yep.
I don't get why... Well, I get why the NFL wants a 17th game because it's more money. But at some point, you know, maybe they shouldn't be this greedy. And I know that there's a market for it because Amazon's apparently going to get in on the bidding and, you know, and they've got so much money they can pay whatever they want for rights. But at some point, is it just too much? Because I think you could take a lesson from baseball and the NBA because their seasons are so damn long and there's so many games that the games aren't very meaningful. At what point do you have too many NFL games where they're not meaningful anymore? I don't know that. I mean, we have games at the end of the season of a 16-game season that just don't mean anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know that from a fan standpoint, a 17th game is going to be that great. And, yes, it's the same thing with the playoffs that we talked about last week. It's more to bet on. It gives us another betting opportunity. But by the same token, if you're serious about player safety, then a 17th game doesn't do anyone any good. And then adding more playoff teams doesn't do anyone any good. Nope. I mean, why do you need to do this? And I mean,
you know why they need to
do it. You don't need to do it. But, you know
why they want to do it.
Yeah, and I just think it's short-sighted. At some point, you have to look at why is your league more successful than everybody else's.
Right, and don't blow it.
And
pretty simple. But don't ruin what you've made.
And trying to get more and more greedy,
mm-hmm.
That's what's going to get you in the end. And they're already, yeah. For some reason, they just decided, well, we're going to make as much money as we can no matter how we do it. And, I mean, I'm okay with that from a business perspective. Moving the draft around, good idea. You start moving the combine around and charging people for it, okay, good idea. Those are things that already exist. You're just moving them around.
Yeah.
But when you start messing with the product, and this is kind of what I wrote for tomorrow, is the one that was going to run today, and then I decided to write an O'Brien thing. But the reality is more is not necessarily better. And getting back to the playoff thing, you're just adding more mediocrity to the playoffs. It's not like you're making them better.
Right.
And so I'm against that, and I just think the whole 17th game, I can't imagine players wanting any part of that. And it is, somebody mentioned it's ironic that J.J. Watt's complaining about it because he never plays 16 games, but but true.
That is ironic.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to miss even more games.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll miss 9 instead of 8 that way. What are the odds that Bob Griffin would have had a longer career than Andrew Luck? How much would that futures ticket have paid after year one? Mm. Well, actually, after year one, I mean, Griffin was terrific year one.
He was good year one.
Year two, you might have wanted to make that bet. But, yeah, it's pretty amazing. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776.
Someone said, speaking of Spanish teams, what are the odds Sergio Yule will ever play one NBA game? Brother Bear said that. My guess is it's zero because he's no longer a force in the Euro League like he was. Like, he's declined as a Euro League player, so I don't think that's bringing him any closer to playing in the NBA now.
He was the great Spanish hope for so long here.
At 32 years old. Yeah, everyone was convinced he was going to just come save the day.
Ma says, people are bitching about adding one game. I can only imagine what it was like when they added two. The thing is, the NFL wasn't what it is when they added, when they went from 14 to 16.
Right.
And, you know, I think that, I barely remember that happening, to be honest. And plus, you've got all the social media and everything else. I mean, it's a different world. And players have that voice on Twitter now.
Yeah.
Which they didn't really have back then. It's, you know, it's funny because it's the one benefit to being old is that you see the differences in things. And back then, like, you couldn't get all the games. You could only watch the Oilers and then whoever, one other game generally, or whoever had the doubleheader. At baseball, it was only on Saturdays, and then until WGN came in and you got to see the Cubs and then the Braves. And now, I mean, we have access to everything. And it's a great time to be a sports fan because you can watch anything you want. Like, I can sit there all day on a Saturday when it's not college football season and watch sports.
Yeah.
If I want to.
What a life.
And because I'll get up in the morning, watch some Premier League soccer, and then switch over to some basketball. And, yeah, if you want to do that all day, it's there. And, you know, you young guys, you should feel lucky.
You youngsters, you got no idea.
I had to walk 5 miles uphill both ways in order to watch a football game. But, yeah, it's been kind of fun to look back on all that. Rado says the XFL is showing that we are willing to watch mediocre football. I think it's a little different. I mean, it's just a timing thing. It's not so much
a lot of it. There's nothing else available right now.
Right. And just like we went over the ratings the other day and how it was rated the highest rated game, beat the best college basketball game, beat the best NBA game. And
so even with ratings down, it's still beating the best of other sports because it's football.
But you know what, though? They've done it right. A 10-game schedule. It's going to be, I mean, that's going to be over before you know it. You only have 5 home games to go to. And I think if they start saying, oh, next year we'll do 12, I think that would be a mistake.
I agree.
I think, but I think a 10-game season right now is perfect. And, you know, it's not so much mediocre football that they're adding. I think they're adding mismatch. What do you think the line would have been on Kansas City, Pittsburgh? Because that would have been a first-round matchup. Pittsburgh with Duck or whoever at quarterback.
10?
I think it'd been more than that. And, you know, those are the kind of matchups that you're adding.
Right.
It's not like the rest of the matchups are the same. But you're adding that matchup.
You're adding one unnecessary game.
And then Green Bay and the Rams would have been the other one.
Yeah. Nobody's dying to see that game.
No, I mean, no, from a fan perspective, we don't need that.
It works. What they've got now works. And when you tweak things, if you're going to change things, you want to do that to fix something. You know, baseball was seeing a decline in interest. So they were like, you know what? Let's do this wild card. And I think it worked. I mean, it didn't work as well as they'd hoped it would work, but it worked to an extent.
It made it more interesting, but
No one's saying, oh man, I wish the NFL playoff system was better.
No one. I don't think there's fans out there saying, hey man, let's do a 17th game. I think that's a great idea. And I mean, I think if you did it as a league crossover thing where the same teams played every year and you created some rivalries, that'd be one way to do it. But again, I don't know that that's long-term
right.
Anything I need to see. Mike says, I remember when you watch football game highlights that you needed to watch Monday Night Football at halftime. Yeah, with Howard Cosell. And Twitter says the NFL's all over the board. They talk about reseeding after each playoff round because they don't want a team with a bad record to host a game.
Right.
But now they want to add another team with a bad record.
Yeah. Right. An 8-8 Steelers team. Oh, boy.
Yeah. I don't know, though, how much of that is the NFL and how much of it's NFL media. Because I think that's me. There's a lot of the Florio types out there that bitch about that more than the league itself. All right. Quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz. Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
Lance Erline here. It used to take you 15... 15-
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Let's take a call.
Okay.
Bo, you're on The Blitz. Go. Hello.
Bo Savis. What up?
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you.
I just had a question for Fred. You were touching up on the NFL adding games. Fred, the CFL, in my opinion, is way too long. 19, 21 weeks. I just wanted to get your opinion on that. And, you know, it's very entertaining to watch, obviously, but I just feel like that season's way more prolonged than it should be. I'll hang up and listen.
I agree. It was always weird to me that they had an 18-game schedule, and now they do multiple bye weeks. And the other, but you know, guys, quarterbacks get hurt up there a lot too. And the other thing that's kind of a problem is at the end of the season, especially at the outdoor venues, there's a lot of the weather can be really, really rough in places like Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, and so you wind up with games that are impacted by weather, including the championship game and playoff games. But I mean, I think it's their reason for doing. There's some things up there that work. Like they did the interference review right. The NFL did not. The NFL basically just said, "Well, we're not overturning anything." And what's wrong with your microphone?
It's not on.
Was that you?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, but the 18-game schedule, I just think it's a bit much. And you wind up with meaningful games at the end where you're playing backup quarterbacks because, and third-string quarterbacks in some cases, because your starter's hurt or he's so beat up that you want him ready for the playoffs. So I don't think it's ideal. Now, for me, it's fun because it gives me plenty to bet.
Right.
2 extra weeks to bet on games. But by the time you get to the end of the season, though, I'm really focusing more on college football and the NFL anyway.
Yeah, that's the other. I mean, any of these, I don't want to call them extra leagues or side leagues. I don't know the appropriate way to say it, but let's just face it. It's not the NFL and it's not college football. Like those are that's the priority. That's what people really care about. And
yeah, it's a little different in Canada for that league because the people up there do care about it.
Do they care about it more than the NFL?
Depends on where you are. I think there's a couple places.
But for the most part,
It's hard to say because, yeah, I think other than maybe BC, where they're big Seattle fans, and Toronto's got a lot of Bills fans, Hamilton, those areas. But a lot of the areas out west where that's all they have, like Winnipeg, and it's much bigger up there. Yeah.
So
college football is damn near non-existent.
The less populated areas, they love it.
Not less populated. I'd say the more, because, I mean, for Canada, there's some pretty big cities, but I'd say more Western Canada, the more open areas.
Okay.
So, like, because, I mean, let's face it, Toronto, they don't really care that much about it.
But, I mean, what I'm saying is, in general, sure.
But I think it's just important to differentiate.
Overall, it's a niche sport.
Well, yeah, people here don't care.
No, one here cares.
But, yeah, in Canada, it's a lot bigger.
I shouldn't say no one. You care, but very few people care.
People care that we make money on it.
That's, yes.
But, yeah, it's... but it's a different thing. I mean, it's like Mexican Soccer League, you know, I mean, La Liga,
mm-hmm.
There's people here that care about it, but you know, for the most part, an average American's not going to care.
Right.
But you were going to make a point about the problem with those leagues though.
Oh, my point was if they do things like that in those leagues, it doesn't really matter if their season's too long or too short. I mean, really, they're doing it to survive. Like, they're trying to figure out a way for their league to stay viable. Whereas the NFL has zero problems with staying viable. It is it's an ATM machine, really. I mean, it is just a massive license to print money. I don't know why you'd even think about considering toying with it. It doesn't make sense to me.
Because these guys are looking at it and saying, look how much money we're making. We can make even more.
It's crazy to me.
Well, yeah, it is. It is. And just a lot of these owners are, let's be honest, they're people who were born into that money.
Right.
They're not the most shrewd businessmen. And Roger Goodell, he's leading this charge.
My question is, do you think this ends up in a work stoppage?
No, I think they get something done. They've got a year. That's the other thing. Why is it so important to get it done right now?
I don't know.
And if I'm the players, I'm going to drag it out as long as I can.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're close to a deal, I think you can get it done in a year. So he says, same argument against 8-team college football playoff. Pointless games would be added. Yeah, the only difference, and I'm at the point where I think 4 is the right number, but it's not going to stay 4.
I don't think so either.
The only difference with college football is percentage of teams that are actually in the playoffs versus every other sport.
Yes.
And, I mean, that's the only thing.
But there's also nothing in place in, you know, like the NBA, the NFL, the draft process, salary caps, they all keep, basically what they do is they create parity.
In theory, yeah.
Whereas college football, there's no such thing as parity.
No.
It's the rich get the best and the poor stay poor. That's just the way it's always been and the way it'll always be.
Pretty much. But, I mean, I think you could argue that, 2% of the teams should be competitive.
Yeah.
But it usually doesn't work out that way. And I know there really hasn't been, in my mind, enough of a reason to put in 8 teams here over the last few years.
There hasn't been a snub that makes you go, oh, my God.
Yeah. Now, if Alabama and Clemson suddenly stop being dominant and you've got 6 or 7 teams that are kind of close, then you can start arguing with me. But that never happens.
The truth is, more often than not, you're trying to find a 4th team versus needing to or trying to cut out a 5th team.
Yeah, well, this year that was certainly the case.
Absolutely.
You had to hope everything fell the way it did so that Oklahoma would be your 4th team.
Right. Like, if there was a way to have a 3-team playoff, this would have been the year for it because there was no need for, I mean, the gap between number 3 and number 4 was just massive.
Agreed. And, you know, that's, but I don't know how many years that's going to be the case, but so far it has been. I mean, there haven't been a lot of years where you say, okay, well, all 4 teams have a chance.
Yeah.
And, in fact, I can't remember thinking that. Maybe the year Ohio State won.
Yeah. They were the 4 seed.
And then they were the 4 seed. But yeah, so I don't think it's quite the same thing. But it's a fair point. The problem is nobody's clamoring for more playoff games in a 17-game season except for the – I mean, I'd love to hear from somebody – who is actually beating the drum for that.
I don't get it.
I haven't heard it either, so I'd like to hear from somebody. But I do think there's a lot of people beating the drum for this playoff expansion in college.
Well, when people, you know who does it, it's when their team gets left out. That's when they're like, we've got to get more teams in.
Well,
there.
The Big Ten went a couple years, and so they're talking about it.
Or it's teams from, like, of smaller conference. It's fans of smaller conference teams. Like everyone who thinks that there should be one group of 5 team that makes it every year and that the only way to feasibly do that is to have 8 teams. So those people want expansion too.
Yeah. And UCF is the one that created that argument because they won a meaningless bowl game against an unmotivated Auburn team.
The reality is I'd never need to see Central Florida versus LSU. I know a motivated LSU and a motivated Central Florida.
You,
I already
you
know
actually
the result.
Saw that in a bowl game 2 years ago, and yep. LSU beat their ass. Yeah. And that was one where LSU, I thought...
That was more thinking of this last year's LSU.
Yeah, yeah. No, you wouldn't have wanted to see that. Well, it would have been Memphis.
Okay, and I wouldn't need to see that either.
No, I mean, well, I guarantee you Memphis would have put up more of a fight than Oklahoma.
Probably.
But neither one of them would have had any chance. But yeah, but the reason when LSU played UCF in that bowl game... That was the first time LSU had been back to a big bowl under Orgeron, had those guys motivated.
Yep.
And they actually cared about it, and that's why they won. The year before, Auburn was still licking its chops or licking its wounds from not making it to the playoffs. They didn't care. Those guys are already in the NFL.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about my friends over at Allstate Siding and Windows. These are the kind of guys that you want to do business with. This is a company that's family-owned, family-operated for over 45 years. They've been around. That means they're going to be around when you need a military discount, senior discounts, first responder discounts. They do it the right way. And they'll do something for you for free. Everybody loves something free. Give them a call today. They'll come out and inspect your windows for free. Make sure you don't have any drafts. Make sure you don't have any leaks because you could be letting energy float out your windows. Then after you get inspected, oh, I need some windows. Guess what? 30% off all windows. $2,500 for all full siding jobs. You want the best rate? Call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. Like I said, these are the guys you want to work with. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or check them out, allstatesidingandwindows.com. You want the best rate? Call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. I'm sick and tired of all the yapping looks. I'm your OG. My time is shining like the bar that drop on New Year's Eve. And she cut down to the D, she be like 5-4-3. Now drop down. You're a freak. ESPN 97.5.
is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A couple of dissenting opinions for you. When OSU was a four seed, nobody gave them a chance to beat Bama. They weren't deemed worthy until they beat number one, just like a six or eight seed that would have presumably beat three top four teams.
Well, then what do we do? Let's say now we make it eight teams, and then an eight seed beats a one seed. Now we make it 16, and then we make it 32,
and
then we just let everybody in?
I'm going to dispute that a little bit, that nobody thought Ohio State had a chance. That team was pretty well regarded going in. And
it wasn't like this year where no one gave the four. I mean, how often has the four seed been a double-digit dog?
Probably more than you think, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. But I think there have probably been a couple of times where, like I said, this year the four seed didn't belong.
Right.
And then somebody says the year TCU was ranked fifth or sixth, they might have been the best team in the nation. I believe it was
no they weren't.
No, that was
neither was Baylor.
Yeah, and everybody was beating the drum for those two. And that was the year Ohio State won. So yeah. You know, I get it that people want to make a case for those teams. I didn't think either one of them was good enough to win a game in the playoff. And we'll never know. But, if you put in eight teams, they would have had their shot.
They would have. And realistically, I mean, if they lost to Baylor. And so it's not like they could have put them in over Baylor. They'd lost to that team. And then they say, oh, sorry, I know you lost. I know you guys beat these guys, but in a head-to-head. But one loss TCU is going to go in over one loss Baylor, even though you beat them head-to-head. I'm not buying that.
Yeah,
that would have pissed more people off.
And the thing was, both the Big 12 was not very.
It was
good
a weak
year.
Conference,
and more often than not, that's the case. It's just, but you know, I get where they're coming from. So 409 says Ohio State was a double-digit dog against Bama. I don't remember that. I do remember cashing on Ohio State. But I'd have to go back and look. But either way, I mean, that was a pretty damn good Ohio State team that had one bad game.
Yeah.
So, as we said, I think that Florida State team was weak, but they were undefeated, returning national champion that year. And if you're undefeated and the returning national champion, you probably should get in there. Like Clemson should have gotten in no matter what this year, I think. And they kind of proved it by getting to the finals.
Ohio State kicked off as a 7.5 point dog to Alabama that year.
Okay, so that's not.
It opened at 10 and got hammered immediately, and it got down to 7.5. So,
all right.
Yeah, I think it's rare. I think this was one of the rare times that a one seed was that far removed from the four seed.
And Ohio State was also on their third string quarterback that year. That was Cardale Jones.
Yeah.
After he had two injuries. That's when everybody thought Tom Herman was the quarterback champ. Hey, Aaron, look, see if you can find what the odds have been in the 1-4 matchups in the playoff era.
I'm looking at all of them right now.
Soon
as I get done compiling, I'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah. Let us know. We'll put you to work. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. So I didn't hear I know that John and those guys had Oliver Luck on the other day. They've been obviously having him a lot because of the
Roughnecks.
But I don't know what he said about it, but Jim Irsay keeps throwing out Andrew Luck might return. Apparently Frank Reich says, I talk to him all the time, and it just his friends. He doesn't think he'll play again.
Yeah, Oliver Luck has said as much. He said Andrew's living his life. He's not considering coming back. I mean, I think that's Jim Irsay hoping and wishing that was going to happen. I mean, if the guy left the game because he was tired of being hurt, then what's the point in going back?
Well, yeah. I mean, guess what's going to happen?
Hurt.
You're going to get hit again. You're going to get hurt. And
football hurts, man.
And he's made some nice money, and it good for him to get out before he gets himself killed. If I'm J.J. Watt, I'm thinking about that, frankly. I mean, how many more of those injuries can he take?
Yeah.
I know a Texan fan doesn't want to hear that.
But it's just a reality.
Yeah. And, hell, if Deshaun Watson gets to be 27 years old and he's taking the punishment that he's taken every single year here, you don't think he'd think about it after he gets that next big contract? And he'll get his big contract and then, you know, we'll see. But
and the reality is, I mean, the level of importance of football is different for everybody. And for some people, football is their life.
Yeah.
But there's been, I don't think that's the case with Andrew Luck. You know, I think you have to an extent, and maybe that's why Andrew Luck never lived up to his potential, because maybe it's not the most important thing in the world to him. But there's been a lot of really good football players who it wasn't the most important thing in the world to them. You know, we talk about Ricky Williams before. I mean, football was like number 5 or 6 on Ricky Williams' list of things he enjoyed. He enjoyed playing baseball more than football. He played football because it was a great way for him to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so not everybody looks at it as my lifelong dream is to win a Super Bowl. Do I think J.J. Watt is a guy who – I think J.J. Watt would do anything to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think he'd kill a baby.
But I think that J.J. is one of those guys. And listen, as J.J. gets older, he's now he's locked up. He's a kept man now.
Mm-hmm.
You start having babies, guess what? It becomes less of a priority. There's other things in your world that become more important than your job. And – that, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that Andrew Luck got married, had babies around the time when he's leaving football.
Yeah, and well, I joke about it all the time how wives ruin careers, but the truth is, and
that's one way of putting it.
If you, and you're right, though, I've always said this, I want guys on my team who love football, and that you can be really talented and not love the game, and I'd find a spot for you. But I prefer all 53 of my guys because that's all they care about. That's their priority. Now, it's hard to find that.
Especially as guys get older.
And I think especially as guys are getting paid as well as they are now, compared to the old school guys, you're going to see more and more players, I think, retire early because they don't love the game that way. And that's okay. I mean, don't want people to die. Okay, so you got the numbers. Give them to us.
So since the college football playoff started in 2014... you've had a double-digit spread in 5 total games.
Wow. Okay, that's more than I would have thought.
In 2015, Bama was a 10-point favorite over Michigan. That was a 2-3.
Okay.
2016, Bama was a 13-point favorite over Washington. That was a 1-4.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
I think we're going to see that almost all of these are going to be Alabama versus somebody.
Right.
You would be correct. Most. I mean, there's 5 games.
With the exception of this LSU team.
Clemson versus Notre Dame in 2018. Clemson was a 10.5-point favorite. That was a 2-3.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Then you had 2018 as well, Bama versus OU, 14.5. That was the 1-4. And then LSU OU was a 12.5, a 1-4.
Okay. But like I said, often the fourth team is already a stretch.
Right.
There's no need to add a fifth team, or much less an eighth team. Imagine what some of those point spreads would be. If you're talking about the 1-4 is double digits, in some cases more than 2 touchdowns, now imagine you're saying the 1-8 best team. Oh, do we really want playoff games where there's 21-point spreads? I don't need that.
Yeah, it's like
I said. Let's just get to the meat of this thing.
Would those matchups be any worse than what we've seen in some of these 1-4s?
What I'm saying is it just adds another unnecessary step.
It does, and it'll add a second game with a big spread to it.
And the other thing it does is it gives teams who didn't do enough in the regular season to deserve a chance. Hmm. If you lose 2 or 3 games in the regular season and the number one team lost 0, I'm sorry. I don't feel like you should have the same chance to play for the national championship. It just devalues the regular season. And I know that people say the NCAA tournament does that same thing, and it does. I mean, I don't know that the NCAA tournament's a little bit different in that they can play, you know, 6 games in 3 weeks.
Well, let me play devil's advocate a little bit, because you're talking about devaluing the regular season. A lot more of these teams are playing high-profile games to help their resume. I think if you can afford to lose one of those early, we might see more of those games. You might see some of the teams that are on the bubble to make the playoffs, play high-profile games early in the season, And I think we get more meaningful games.
Maybe so.
I mean, we've already seen that. And, I mean, almost everybody tries to get a game like that now. We saw Texas LSU this year.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be a must. Well, I think it's a must for some conferences for sure. Like you're the Pac-12. You're probably going to need a win against somebody like that early on. But 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. But it's coming because, again, they'll make more money.
Yeah.
But I hope if they go to 8, they stay at 8. Because I don't want to see it turn into 16, 24, 48.
Yeah, it's enough.
And I mean, here we are. The NFL's already talking about adding playoff teams. What's going to stop them? And Greg the Beer Man asking, why not do top six teams, top two get a bye? That's been out there, too. I don't know that if you're going to go to 6, you might as well go to 8 and just add the extra 2 games. It's more money.
I don't need 6 either.
Yeah. I mean, honestly.
I mean, like I said, with the exception of Baylor TCU, which I disagree with them even being in the conversation, I didn't feel bad for either one that they got left out. Has there ever been a year where you're like, man, that's 6th best team, they really should have had a shot at the playoffs?
Who would your 5 and 6 have been this year?
I don't know.
Do you put Utah in after losing?
That's one of the ones you would have had to take.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might devalue the championship games because, yeah. But
unless the winner of the championship got an automatic game.
Yeah, and I guess that's what you'd have to do. You'd do 5 automatic champions, and then the best 2 non-champs from the Power 5, and then 1 non-Power 5. But if you're going to do non-Power 5, you better hope that it's Boise or UCF or Memphis or Houston or somebody like that. You start getting Northern Illinois in there, which was a thing a few years ago.
Yeah.
Nick says, seems like you two would rather the old BCS system. I'm not sure. I wouldn't rather have the old bowl system back. All the bowls meant something.
I'll be honest. I've come around to the 4-team playoff, but I knew this would happen if it went to 4, was they would start trying to go for more. And it, like I said, more often than not, when they had the BCS system, it felt rare to me that there was a 3rd team with real beef.
There were a few times. There was an unbeaten Auburn team. Yeah, it
happened. But to me, once you get to 4... until some unbeaten team gets left out, like an unbeaten Power 5 team gets left out, there's not really room for anyone to complain. Everyone has a chance. Just win your games.
Yeah, the only time it comes up is when you're UCF.
Yeah, and I don't feel bad for them.
Not really, because they didn't play anybody outside of conference. Yeah, schedule
harder. If UH, the year that they what'd they lose? 3 games there or 2 games that year?
I think they wound up losing 4 that year.
Okay, but the year that they scheduled Oklahoma.
Oh, no, they lost 1 game the year that they beat OU and Louisville.
Yeah.
And that was, they lost at freaking UConn.
If they had run the table, I could see a beef from them, like, hey, we should get a shot.
Right.
But they didn't, you know, so once it happens, let's address it. It hasn't happened yet.
No, and I mean, it's still a relatively small sample size, but...
And teams like that, teams in those Group of 5 conferences, rarely play 2 high-profile Power 5 teams. That was a really rare thing that UH did, much less beat both of them.
Yeah, well, and that's where... I mean, I think that's where it's hard to know when you're scheduling 10 years in advance, too. You know OU's going to be good, and if you'd scheduled Louisville... Right then, thinking you were getting a good opponent now? Not so much. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Correction, the year that the Cougars went 13-1. They did win at Louisville, but they didn't play Oklahoma that year, and the rest of their schedule was pretty weak.
What was the year that they played? Was it Oklahoma and UCLA they played in the same year?
No, it was Oklahoma and Louisville, and they beat them both. Both of them were in the top 5.
And then they lost to who?
They lost at Navy. They lost at SMU in a game where they turned the ball over 100 times. And that game almost cost Herman the Texas job, from what I understand. There were people at Texas like, oh, this guy just got his ass kicked by SMU. And then they lost the last two games of the season. They lost at Memphis in the championship game, and then lost to San Diego State. But by then,
it didn't matter.
Yeah, Herman had checked out. So, but yeah, the 2015 team, though, they didn't. Even if they had beaten UConn, I wouldn't have been able to make a huge case for them. Yeah, because I mean, their best win would have been Louisville. I mean, they wound up beating Florida State in the bowl game, but you know, that game meant a lot more to UH than it did Florida State. But Memphis was 25th when they beat them. Navy was 16th. Temple
was 2015, 20. Right?
Yeah.
And Louisville finished what, 8-5?
Yeah, this was not the same Louisville team that the next year came in.
Yeah,
ranked in the top three.
So it wasn't like
it was a good win, but
not a resume maker. You know, the year that they beat Oklahoma and Louisville the same year, both those teams were really good.
Yeah,
and finished really good. So those wins were really impressive, and Texas UH just blew it.
Yeah, yeah. The Navy game was they could have won that one. The SMU game, they had no chance. That was one where they just went in and turned the ball over 100 times. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
Well, rarely does something good happen at 3 a.m. in a restaurant that's open 24 hours, because usually that's where people are going when they've been partaking.
Pardon me.
Jeez, that sounded painful. And in Florida, it's probably worse. According to police, Alan Ibanez, 24 years old, entered a Clearwater restaurant, Clearwater IHOP, and began approaching random tables and patrons, offering to show his genitals and showing them condoms.
Hmm. That's generous of him.
Yeah, he was asked to leave, but he continued to show his genitals to everyone. This left patrons uncomfortable and wanting to leave.
He was doing this for free?
Yes.
Then what's the big deal? What are people mad about?
I don't want people coming around to my table and showing off their genitals at 3 in the morning. He was arrested for disorderly conduct, and he noted that he engaged in several instances of disruptive behavior earlier in the evening, for which he was not busted. He spent 11 hours in custody before being freed. But 2 hours after his release, he was arrested again. Police charged that he stole 2 gas station donuts worth $1.98.
Not wise, guys.
If I'm going to steal donuts from a gas station, I would just steal the powdered donuts in the pack.
Yeah, that's the only ones that, I mean, you don't want to eat that other stuff.
I haven't had powdered donuts, like those prepackaged powdered donuts, in a long time.
I haven't either.
You know what I liked? You know, like the, I think Mrs. Baird's makes them, and a bunch of other companies make them, but like the fried pies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They have like fruit filling.
Yeah.
You know what's gone away is the chocolate-filled pie. You can still get all the fruit. Like, you can get apple and lemon. You can't find chocolate anymore. I used to love the chocolate-filled pie.
Hmm.
I want to know what happened to that.
I'm not sure I ever saw one of those.
Oh, they're delicious. Oh, my. That's a good breakfast. It's a breakfast treat.
Well, there is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day. When I was in the Army, I used to eat a lot of those fried pies. But my metabolism was so ridiculous that I could just eat. I would eat everything in sight. And when we'd do PT in the morning, you run several miles or whatever, and then we'd work out. Pretty much always my post-workout breakfast was a full box of chocolate Pop-Tarts or cinnamon and brown sugar Pop-Tarts and a half gallon of milk.
I
think about eating that now and I would be dead. But when I was 18, I could do that. And not only would I not gain weight, I would probably lose weight.
Really, up until late 20s, I could do that. And yeah, breakfast was always the brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts. Those
are the best Pop-Tarts,
by the way. Or the white donuts. I would go get the white donuts. But I can't eat a donut now.
Like, are you in a real donut?
I mean, I can, but it's not very tasty because It's just, it's, I don't eat that many sweets.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're just so sweet that I can't really, I mean, it just doesn't taste right.
My preferred donut these days is like a cinnamon twist.
Okay.
Because, yeah. I used to like bear claws. I don't like bear claws when they've got like chunks of almond on them. I don't like nuts on my donuts. But I do like, and I like cake donuts now.
Mm.
Because they're not as sweet. Like a blueberry cake muffin or something like that. Those are pretty solid.
Yeah. Like, I always just like the regular donut. Glazed donut. Yeah. And
okay.
Sometimes a jelly filled.
Okay.
It's a jelly. But
you're a basic.
Yeah. I was always a basic. But now I haven't even eaten one in years. I don't think I could. 210 asks a good question. Do you think you'd see players sit out a 1-8 game to limit risk of injury?
Oh, I mean, that's...
That's a good question.
It's possible.
I don't know. But, yeah. S'mores-flavored Pop-Tarts are unequivocally the best.
No. That is false.
Cinnamon.
The regular chocolate fudge are better than the s'more. Because it's not real marshmallow. It's like some kind of weird... I don't know what it is, but that's not right. Frosted strawberry, also strong.
Yeah.
I'm not
a big strawberry guy, but I did like the frosted strawberry.
There's some people who eat Pop-Tarts with no frosting, and I'm pretty sure that those people are serial killers. I don't know.
I don't know
who goes to the store and is like, oh, look at the Pop-Tart with no frosting.
I don't believe in that. I tried that as I was transitioning to trying to eat better. Forget it.
What's the point?
They're not Pop-Tarts.
I mean, you're eating a...
You're still eating the same crap.
A fruit-filled pastry. Of course, it's junk. But, yeah, I don't understand that.
No, it was a fail.
Yeah.
I maybe did it one time, and I'm like, okay, that's it.
At least you learned your lesson.
And I went back to the coated ones, and then I realized, okay, these are going to kill me. So,
all right, guys, I got to tell you about TGS. If you own your home and you could use a little extra money, who couldn't? Let's face it. Our friends at TGS Insurance Agency are going to deliver you some big savings on your home policy. And the best part of it is you don't have to talk to an insurance agent. Nobody wants to do that. TGS Insurance built a system that gives you a firm quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but your address. And you're probably going to save a bunch of money by doing this. Grab your phone right now and text the word money to 232323. The system's going to reply and ask for your address. Send that back. They're going to send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. Compare it to what you're spending now. The average customer from last year saved $870 on their home insurance. That could be you. Online rating nearly perfect. This company is legit. And you don't need to wait for your renewal because TGS will take care of the back end, the paperwork, the hassle. You can free your mind and just sit back and rake. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.